The following is a presentation of the Houston Texans.
This is Texans 360, and we're so happy that you're with us. My name's Drew Doherty. I'm your host today. And yeah, Texans 360 is back after a little hiatus that happened during the football season. We got a lot to get to today, but first, we bring in my good pal John Harris to break down a position group that I thought flourished this year. The defensive backs, headlined by Jonathan Joseph, who, man, he had a Pro Bowl caliber season, Johnny.
Yeah, I thought he got robbed, to be honest with you, Drew. I thought he was fantastic. I know he was dinged up. At some point, I know it was in the Carolina game that he started kind of reaching for behind his right leg or so. In a couple of games, it was tight. But beyond that, he was fantastic. And I thought, and when they extended him, I thought, you know, he's in his 30s. Is this the wisest thing to do? It ended up being one of the smartest things they did to extend him, because I thought he was absolutely fantastic. Of all the defensive backs that we saw this year, whether it was Texans or an opponent, he was up there. We saw Josh Norman. Jonathan Joseph played near that level. Yeah. Marcus Peters, the Chiefs, he played at that level. We saw some really good ones, and I would put Jonathan Joseph up there with all of them.
No doubt. Kevin Johnson, we saw some nice things from the rookie, the first-round pick early on in the season. What did you think of his first go-round in the NFL?
Well, I think he surprised a lot of people, and I watched him a number of times at Wake Forest, and one thing we always knew about Kevin was he's so quick to the football. But is he going to be able to take the rigors of coming up and making tackles on running backs, on tight ends, on big wide receivers? And he really proved that he could do that and do it pretty well. He had the interception against the Titans. I think the best football for Kevin Johnson is ahead of him. I think he gets this offseason to really prepare to be a pro, as opposed to preparing to come into the NFL for a first year, second year. He's going to make that leap, Drew, and I think he's going to end up being one of the key figures in this defense going forward.
Very steady season as well from Kareem Jackson.
Yeah, there's no question. Kareem being hurt in a Jacksonville game, I think hurt this squad over the next three or four games. But when he came back that first game against the Saints, he made one of the interceptions of the year, maybe one of the defensive plays of the year, picking off Drew Brees, getting up and then running 50 yards before he was tackled by Jadeveon Clowney. He might have scored on that one, but Kareem I thought was fantastic from that Saints game the rest of the year. And in particular, when he moved into the slot, that's when I thought Kareem really played great this year.
No doubt. We got to talk about the safeties, because there were some changes there. We saw a lot of Andre Howell. Yep. He took the place of Raheem Moore, essentially. And Quentin Demps, man, what a nice combo, Howell and Demps, that second half of the season.
Man, second half of the season, those two were outstanding. I mean, Andre Howell had two picks against Jacksonville. One had saved a touchdown, and then one, he had a touchdown going the other way. I think Andre Howell was maybe the biggest surprise for a lot of people. He's probably going to be pretty solid, but he's not your typical strong safety, free safety. He's just a good ball player. Yeah. He's a safety, and he proved that throughout the year. I thought the combination of Demps and Howell really gave the defense that backbone they had been looking for, and I thought that was the key for the secondary, the second half of the year, to really get things going in the positive direction.
You clearly like talking football. You want to do this again maybe weeks at a time? Does that sound good to you? Can I sell you on that?
You sold me. I'm in.
Right.
I'm in.
It's like ice to an Eskimo, isn't it? All right, that's John Harris. And before we get to my good pal Mark Vandermeer for some schedule talk about 2016, we got to pump the brakes.
I don't know, but everybody's got to get better.
Bill, one of the things...
All of us, coaches, players... Like,
yeah, but you can't get faster, can you?
No, but I can get skinnier and I can get smarter. So that's what I'm going to try to do.
Now, I suppose Mark Vandermeer could get faster, but he runs a 4.23 in the 40. So, Vandy, you're going to have to get to work on dropping that down.
But, we all need to get skinnier in the offseason, I think. That is for sure.
Yeah. Voice of the Houston Texans, as you know. Mark, this is a pretty rock-solid NFL slate for the Houston Texans in 2016. Let's hit some of the highlights in the home games. We know those three division opponents will be there, but what's got you most excited about Energy Stadium in 2016?
Well, it's funny, because on HoustonTexans.com and social media, we floated it out there. What game are you most excited about at home? And it was definitely the Kansas City Chiefs, because of the loss you just had in the playoffs and a chance to get revenge against this team. And I'll never forget the image of all those Chiefs fans celebrating at NRG Stadium, celebrating in your building. It's got to be a big motivator. I would be surprised if Bill O'Brien didn't somehow bring that up, at least privately with the players, before they take on the Chiefs next year. And you have the Cincinnati Bengals, Drew. We remember the Monday nighter of course, this year on the road. Now the Bengals come into your place, but when they were here in 2014, they won. They beat the Texans. So
that's their only win against the Texans since 2008, if you include the postseason as well.
How about that? So I think this has become a nice little rivalry between these two teams, the playoff meetings and the Monday Nighter, and now this, of course.
And in all likelihood, you'll see Andrew Luck back in NRG Stadium next season. Yeah, he had the spleen thing. That would have, Dan Pastorini, maybe two quarters instead of two months.
He would have brushed it off, put some duct tape on
it. Not to belittle what he's doing. But, that schedule, AFC South-wise, it's going to be tougher, I think, in 2016 than it was this year.
Look, Blake Bortles and the Jaguars, at some point, they're going to start winning football games. Yeah. Okay, they've showed a lot of promise. They've got a lot of firepower, no doubt. They're going to fortify the defense. Gus Bradley, defense is his calling card. Even though they've been better on offense, eventually they're going to play better defense. They can really focus on that in the draft, improve that O-line, be a much tougher team. Hey, the Titans, they're not going to be down there forever. I know the Jaguars and Titans have basically set up residency in the top five of the NFL draft. That's not going to last forever.
What about this traveling schedule? Because you'll go to Denver, you'll go to Minnesota, you'll go to Lambeau Field again, back to New England. Quite a travel trip for the Texans. And let's not even hit on the Oakland one, because I want to talk about that in just a little bit.
Okay, but what about this? Green Bay, the 2008 meeting at Lambeau Field was one of the all-time great Texans games on the road. As far as just isolated road wins and a 400-yard passing day, Chris Brown with a field goal at the end to win it, that was great.
In
the snow. It is such a landmark kind of thing to go to Green Bay. Since you only visit NFC teams once every 8 years, it's just terrific to have that experience of one of the great stadiums. Minnesota, their new building. So you have that. But these are tough football teams. I mean, and you have cold weather. We mentioned Lambeau. What about New England? What about going to Denver? Yeah. You have those on the schedule as well. And we mentioned the Colts, Drew. One key point here. They have to go to Denver and Green Bay as well. They don't go to New England, but they go to the Jets. So when you look at the AFC South Division schedule difficulty meter, they have a pretty tough one as well.
¿Hablas español, mi amigo?
Sí, poquito.
The reason I'm speaking or just spoke some Spanish to Mark is the stories have been out there that the Texans will play the Oakland Raiders in Mexico City on Monday Night Football in November. That could be cool.
I think there was a big blow to that this week with the Raiders not moving to L.A. necessarily right away, because if they had moved to L.A., then the league could have moved one of their home games, they don't have a stadium yet, to Mexico City for that Monday Nighter, as reported out of Mexico with the various media outlets. We'll see how it all shakes out. Maybe they end up going there anyway, maybe not. The Raiders are looking for a home to play in as we speak.
All right, good stuff as always. Can't wait to talk with you throughout this offseason. This is Mark Vandermeer. I'm Drew Doherty. We'll be back with more Texans 360 and a quick break.